KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Cloudy skies and 61 degrees in Atlantic. We picked up a total of 51 one-hundredths of an inch, 7 1/100 of that falling since 7 a.m. And right now we have cloudy skies here and again, 61 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Radar shows most of the shower activity that was affecting us earlier this morning has moved off to the northeast and east. And the heavier bands are just around the Anita and west of Adair area over by Exira. Just to the south of Atlantic around the Griswold area and Lyman. And then further off down to the borderline of Iowa and Missouri. Well, in the news, a reminder today from Cass County Treasurer Tracy J. Marshall. And that is that the first half tax payments are due for your real estate and mobile homes. And the deadline to pay without penalty is today. Payments with a postmark of September will be accepted without penalty as well. You can pay online at www.iowatreasurers.org. Again, your first half tax payments are due today for real estate and mobile homes in Cass County. A monthly survey of business leaders suggests economic conditions are still improving for 9 Midwestern and Plain states. A report released today says the Mid-America Business Conditions Index, or BCI, rose to 58.2 in September from 57.5 in August and 56.1 in July. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey. Goss says international sales, strong profit growth, and low interest rates boosted the economic outlook among supply managers in the 9-state region. The survey results are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests growth in that factor. A score below 50 would suggest decline. Police in Creston report the arrest at around 1:50 a.m. Sunday of 48-year-old Diane Woodhull. The Creston woman was arrested in the 400 block of South Division Street in Creston on a charge of public intoxication, second offense. Woodhull was being held in the Ringgold County Jail on a $1,000 bond. A 32-year-old man has been accused of setting fire to a house he used to occupy in Sioux City. Court records say Jesse Big Eagle is charged with arson and criminal mischief in connection with the fire that took place last month. Big Eagle's next court appearance is scheduled for October 9th. The records say he entered the home early on September 19th, went to the basement, and started a fire there before leaving. No injuries were reported. The house was considered to be a total loss. Elsewhere in state news, from over the weekend, about 1,500 Democrats bought tickets for Saturday's reappearance of the steak fry tradition former U.S. Senator Tom Harkin had hosted each fall. The event was held in a Des Moines park and opened with a lightning round of brief speeches from 14 Democratic candidates who are running for governor or who are running for Iowa's 3rd congressional district. It closed with longer remarks from Democrats from Illinois, Ohio, and Massachusetts, offering their thoughts on party revival in 2018 and beyond. Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio said the party is at its best when it focuses like a laser beam on ordinary people.
We lost them. And we lost them to Trump. And while I'm mad at the Republicans, I'm just as mad as at us for letting that happen. There's no way this guy should be president of the United States. No way at all.
Ryan says Democrats should quit talking so much about a $15 an hour minimum wage and instead stress the aspiration of helping Americans land and keep good high-wage jobs. Sherry Bustos of Illinois won re-election to Congress by 20 points last year in a U.S. House district that Donald Trump had carried.
So I know a thing or two about Donald Trump voters. It's like a knife to my heart that there are some in the Democratic Party who just want to write off districts like mine and forget about states like Iowa and say that it's just too darn hard to elect Democrats in rural America.
Bustos is urging Democrats to focus on results for the forgotten places in America rather than resistance to Trump. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton said Democrats cannot offer voters the same old thing and expect to win again.
We've got to get back in touch with those voters that we have lost. Because the reality is that a lot of Americans feel left behind, not just by the Republicans, but by our party and by our country.
Three members of Congress downplayed the idea that their visits to Iowa were a prelude to running for president in 2020. Democrat Tom Hockensmith, a member of the Polk County Board of Supervisors, said he's not keeping a 2020 scorecard yet.
From my standpoint, no. No, I couldn't tell you right now, you know, who might even be in the wings.
Hockensmith said party activists will begin paying closer attention early next year to the Iowa Democrats who are waging campaigns here in 2018. The speech making from those candidates began shortly after a longtime party activist West experienced a medical emergency and was taken away in an ambulance. A candidate for governor, who's also a doctor, administered CPR until emergency responders arrived. Dr. Annie McGuire later got a round of applause from the crowd when the Polk County Democrats chairman announced the woman McGuire attended to was breathing and McGuire may have saved her life. Well, a defamation lawsuit involving a former Iowa state lawmaker acquitted of sexually abusing his wife has been settled. The Globe Gazette reports that the lawsuit filed by former Representative Henry Rahons of Garner and a countersuit that is filed by his two stepdaughters were dismissed last Wednesday. The terms of the settlement were not disclosed. Rahons was acquitted in 2015 after being accused of having sex with his wife while she was living in a nursing home, suffering from dementia. He then sued his stepdaughters, saying that they had defamed him and pushed the state to prosecute him. The stepdaughters, Susan Bruns and Linda Dunshy, countersued Rahons and his son. The counterclaims of the Rahons had made defamatory statements against the stepdaughters. Well, several thousand hunters will take to the woods with bow hunting, looking to bring home a deer in the next several weeks. DNR wildlife biologist Jim Coffey says the bow season has become more and more popular because of what it offers to hunters.
Probably the most unique thing about archery season is the hunting experience itself and the fact that a lot of people will hunt individually. It's not quite as social as the shotgun season with the party system. And this gives people a chance to get on that one-on-one relationship with nature.
The season opened on Sunday, and some 62,000 hunters were expected to take part. He says on a slow deer day, there's still plenty to see.
And if there's not deer, then you're observing the squirrels and you're observing the woodpeckers and all the other parts of nature, which gives it just a very solace type of a feeling that connects you back to nature. A lot of bow hunters are hunting from tree stands, and that puts you right up there intimately in the habitat itself.
The deer movement is a little different this time of year, too, as they're still in their summer pattern, moving from their bedding areas to food sources.
Of course, we're still fairly green, but we're turning into an early fall mixture. Leaves will be falling. We're looking at corn coming out, which changes the habitat evaluation. So it just makes for a different experience. A lot of times, the deer hunter is going to be looking at bedding areas and feeding areas and not so much worried about the rut or the physical activity of the deer that are based upon the deer's social behaviors. They're looking at the actual day-to-day movements of deer.
Using a bow takes hunters back to the very early days of hunting, though Coffey says the modern bows used today are top of the line in technology.
And that's good, but ultimately you still have to have good woodsmanship skills. You still have to understand your weapon. Just because it's an expensive or a better weapon doesn't mean that you know how to operate it. So you've got to be practicing. You've got to understand your abilities and distance and judging. And most importantly, that one thing people forget is you need to practice from shooting from that elevated position because your angles change, which means it's not the same as shooting at a target in the backyard.
Coffey says practicing is important to avoid accidents with your bow. And he says you need to check all of your equipment to be sure you're safe.
The number one hunting related accident in Iowa is falling from a bow stand. So checking out those bolts and screws and the straps on the stand, having that safety harness involved, those are the most important critical things you can do.
He says the great experience of the hunt can be ruined because a piece of equipment wasn't checked and failed.
Going to the woods and coming out of the woods is the greatest thing you can do, not harvesting a deer.
He says that you should get at least a chance to see a deer while you're out hunting this season.
Deer numbers are about what you're going to see last year. We're going to expect to harvest around 100,000 deer total this year again. It depends on what part of the state you're hunting in. That has a big issue. But the beauty of it is we've got deer in all 99 counties.
And bow hunters took nearly 13,000 of those deer last year. The archery season will close on December 1st when the shotgun season opens and then reopens December 18th until closing on January 10th. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.